Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning and welcome to Score Values on 670 The Score. I'm your host, Alex Kuhn. Today, I will tell you about an organization fighting homelessness in the northern suburbs, another organization providing resources to refugees in the Chicagoland area, and last but not least, a group of people providing Valentine's Day boxes to girls around the city that will contain a teddy bear, candy, a manicure set, hair care products, a painting set, and more. We now welcome Betty Bogg, the CEO of Connections for the Homeless, to Score Values. Betty, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Alex. I'm great. How are you?
We are doing great here, and we're delighted to have you. And why don't I give you the floor to tell us a little bit about the work that you guys do at Connections for the Homeless.
Sure, thank you. So Connections for the Homeless is an Evanston-based social service agency that provides a whole continuum of services to people who are unhoused or unstably housed at risk of homelessness. And we are underpinned by an advocacy program where we work to change the system that are causing homelessness in the first place. And the way we do our work is in three main areas. We work in eviction prevention through rental assistance and diversion funding. So if you're behind in your rent because you got three people living in your house and everybody's working and one of them gets COVID and you got to fix your car, you can get behind in your rent pretty quickly, so we can get you caught up or prevent your homelessness entirely, which is certainly ideal for everyone. Prevents the trauma of homelessness. It's expensive to end homelessness if you fall into the shelter system. So that's our preferred method of addressing the potential of being unhoused. We also provide shelter services. So if you do become unhoused, you know, you're not going to have a new apartment this afternoon. So you need a place to go where you can be safe and where we can find you if and when your new housing solution comes up. We also provide very basic services to people who are living on the street. So bag lunches, showers, clothing, case management, and all kinds of health services, both behavioral and mental health services, to people who are in the shelter or living on the street. We're delighted that over the pandemic, the sort of silver lining for us is we've been able to purchase a small hotel in Evanston where we deliver shelter services in a dignified manner to people who have become unhoused. We can serve up to 60 men, women, children, people of all household configurations in that shelter. And again, providing them with a path to increased well-being, which will lead to their ability to maintain a housing solution once we find them. So, and our ultimate, of course, objective for everyone is to find a housing solution. And so we work tirelessly with everyone who comes to the shelter to find them a permanent housing solution. So, and this can be, there are all kinds of paths to housing. You might be able to get a job and get market rate housing. You might need permanent housing with some deep supports forever. You might need a temporary rental subsidy. You might need a housing choice voucher. You might need to move in with your family in Texas. It just depends on people's individual circumstances. And the thing that prevents us from being able to house everyone, and we do run our own housing programs as well. We serve about 500 people in our housing programs. But the thing that prevents us from being able to do that efficiently is that there's not enough housing. And this is where our advocacy work comes in. We need housing for people that they can afford, that they can obtain. But we also just need more housing. There's a huge housing crisis in this country. We are behind some millions of units of housing. So even when people can't afford it, those units don't exist. And so we work with local and state municipalities to address things that lead to difficulty in building new housing, basically, and can perpetuate inequities across the system.
Betty, when I look at the page that you guys have on your website, connecttohome.org, on the strategic goals, goal number one is equity and anti-racism. It's not a coincidence that this is the number one goal as far as tackling the issue of homelessness, is it?
It is not a coincidence. That was very deliberate. And, you know, it can be really confusing, and it can be very daunting to think about how we end homelessness. And when we look at people who are impacted by homelessness, it's often people who are sort of the most vulnerable, like maybe they have addiction issues, maybe they have untreated mental health issues. And we look at those folks and we think, you know, like if we just got rid of that issue that they're having, that would be the answer for them. And certainly if you're impacted by those horrible situations, it helps you to have them treated. Even so, there's not enough housing. And so our work is all centered on ensuring that people at all levels have input into our decision-making, that our communities are served properly and equitably, that our board of directors is representative of the people that we're serving and the staff that are on with us doing this work. So equity and inclusion, belonging is just core to our thinking as we move into the next phase of where this agency will be.
Betty Bogg, the CEO of Connections for the Homeless, joining me this morning on Score Values. And I want to get a little bit into the advocacy work and another strategic goal that you guys have, and that's visibility and communication. I feel like most people out there recognize homelessness as an issue, but as for so many issues in this country, there's not a lot of nuance to the discussion. Not a lot of people bring up solutions. How important is it for people like you out there to not only advocate as far as policy with local and state governments, but also to get the message out there that there are possible solutions for this crisis?
Yeah, that's what gets me out of bed every day, Alex, because, you know, this work can be really hard and it can be discouraging, and we lose people. And then we also have these amazing stories of healing and hope, right? And what I know for sure is there are solutions to homelessness. We have to choose to implement those solutions. So I see this as a sort of like a long-term community education project, right? Where we're talking about the true causes of homelessness and talking about what those solutions could be. We see it working for us every day. 80% of the people that come to stay at our shelter, the Margarita Inn in Evanston, exit to a housing solution. So we know that this is possible, given the right supports.
You mentioned some success stories. Were there any you'd like to share with us?
Oh, there's so many. Recently we've been we've been talking about this gentleman who stays now at the Margarita Inn, and he came to us because he was being discharged from a nursing home where he did not require nursing home level of care, but he has congestive heart failure. He probably needs a left ventricular replacement. He needs a heart transplant, actually. But he was going to come off the heart transplant list because he did not have stable housing. So literally, he was going to die if he didn't find housing. And so he came to us at the Margarita Inn. And right now, we're really excited because we're developing a partnership with Endeavor Health. We were a recipient of a very generous two-year grant from them to develop a medical respite program. Medical respite is where people are able to, who would not otherwise be able to recover at home. Like, so if you or I got a hip transplant, we'd go home in 24 hours and we'd be fine. We'd recover at home. But if you don't have a home, you can't recover from that. If you or I needed a heart transplant, we would get on the transplant list. But this gentleman was not going to get on the transplant list. He is now under the care of our medical director, Dr. Keith Boyd. He's preparing for the surgeries that he's going to need, and he's preparing to find a housing solution. So everybody's story is different. I have hundreds, literally hundreds of stories. Not all of them are that dramatic, you know, but many are like, they're just amazing. It's just amazing work. We're so lucky to be in this. I'm so lucky to work for this organization where we see the impact of our work on a daily basis.
That is a great story. Thank you for sharing it, Betty. You guys have an event coming up on Tuesday, February 13th at the Margarita Inn, correct?
We do. We have an open house from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Margarita Inn. If you'd like to come and see this beautiful old boutique hotel and kind of see what we're doing there, it's amazing. We also have another event coming up in March. March 14th is our Inspire Luncheon, where we are going to be featuring Dr. Andre Perry. He's a fellow at the Brookings Institute who does research on the impact of appraisals and the lowering of appraisals of Black-owned property and how that impacts generational wealth for the Black community. It's really exciting. It's going to be a great luncheon. We're going to have a panel led by Robin Ruth Simmons, who's our board member and a leader in the reparations movement. So both of those, come to beautiful Evanston, eat at a delightful restaurant, and come and see us and join us at one of those events.
Betty, okay, so a couple of things as far as your website. Say somebody is needing help and is going through housing insecurity. Where can they find help?
So our organization is a network of organizations, and we work in North Suburban Cook County. If that's your geographic sort of basis, then you can call our main number, which is 847-475-7070. We'll call you back and figure out how we can kind of get you into the fold and into the pipeline. We also run two drop-in centers. So if someone is actually homeless and needs to take a shower, get a bag lunch, you know, some clothes, we have two drop-in centers. One is near downtown Evanston at 1458 Chicago Avenue. It's called Hillless Place. And we have one in the 5th Ward of Evanston, which is our historically Black underserved community at 2121 Dewey in Evanston. That is our main office as well.
My second question for you is, what type of volunteer opportunities do you have? How can people get involved?
Oh my gosh, this is one of the things that I love most about Connections. We have so many volunteer opportunities. So that can be anywhere from you and your kids make 25 like bag lunches and drop them off at one of our sites, and we give out I think 75, 100 bag lunches every day. You don't even have to come in, really. We'll just take your bag lunches and send them out and you can do it with your three-year-old. We have lots of opportunities for things like clothing drives and food drives. So if you're doing something at work or your faith community is doing a drive, we're always happy to coordinate with you to get clothing and food. And then if you really are want to get kind of hands-on, we have volunteer opportunities in our drop-ins. You can help our visitors come and navigate through the food pantry. You can help them try on a new pair of pants or shoes. So we have all kinds of volunteer opportunities at Connections.
Betty, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Alex. It was a pleasure.
We now welcome Connor Mottner, the founder and strategic director for Chicago Refugee Coalition. Connor, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Alex. Doing well. Thank you for having me.
We are delighted to have you. And I'll just open with this. Tell us a little bit about Chicago Refugee Coalition, otherwise known as CRC.
Absolutely. Thank you. So the Chicago Refugee Coalition is a 501c3 nonprofit that I actually started back in 2018 in response to a couple life buckets, as I like to put it, the personal, the professional, and the academic. On the personal front, I like to describe my family as a big, loud East Coast Jewish family. And my grandparents, my grandfather actually was a refugee from Czechoslovakia during World War II. He and his family had to leave the country actually about 12 hours before Hitler ended up sealing the border. And they ended up taking asylum in the UK, where they stayed for the duration of the war. And that was a story that was pretty central to my familial experience growing up, and kind of links into the larger Jewish diaspora. So on the professional side, before starting CRC, I was actually a staffer with the U.S. Senate, and I worked there from 2015 to 2018, and my area was immigration and Department of State Affairs. And honestly, working in that space and, you know, interfacing with constituents who, you know, often were in pretty dire straits, and, you know, they would come to me, explain their case. And unfortunately, there was very little, if anything, I was able to do. And I didn't like feeling that way. It was a really crummy feeling, just, you know, having someone who was in very clear need and not being able to come to their aid. It was just a terrible feeling. So I did what any young, plucky congressional staffer does. I went off to graduate school and took my master's in public policy and public administration at Northwestern, and finished that degree up in June 2018, the same month that I actually started CRC. So it was kind of a combination of these factors that led me to launch this organization. And more specifically, the broader mission of the organization is to identify the systemic service gaps in the resettlement space. And because we're totally privately supported, marshal private resources there, meet the participant where they are, and then tailor services to meet their unique needs. You know, it's not a one-size-fits-all solution.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you mentioned the systemic issues involved, and yes, not one size fits all, but are there certain commonalities or pillars that a lot of refugees face once they're trying to either gain asylum or make it here in the Chicagoland area?
So the biggest issue that a lot of people run into as new arrivals is access to safe and affordable housing. That is just probably one of the most chronic issues. And the reason being is that there's no credit history, there's no verifiable income because they're new arrivals, and there's very little guarantee that the landlord will be able to basically collect on rent. And that puts them in a very precarious position. And people by nature are risk averse, you know? So as a result, there's very few landlords who are willing to actually rent out property to new arrivals. So there's a huge, huge crunch in that space. I would say that's probably the biggest one. The second one is, of course, language acquisition. But thankfully, we live in a city that has so many supports for new arrivals and just really anyone who is not a native English speaker. So, you know, language acquisition is thankfully something that is pretty well resourced here. access to employment, and then finally childcare are some of the major issues that we've seen crop up that new arrivals have to navigate, often with very little support.
Yeah, I was going to also ask you, obviously, this is a big topic here in the city. A lot of new arrivals have been making their way to Chicago since 2022. How has CRC been a part of welcoming these new arrivals?
Absolutely. So let me just, first clarify. The new arrivals that we're seeing from that are being bussed up or flown up from the southern border are not actually refugees,
right,
in the way that we, by clear definitions. And
that makes sense.
And a lot of people use the term pretty loosely or synonymously with like an asylum seeker and, immigrant or what have you. But so I wanted just to take a second to make that distinction. So with that said, our organization had a mandate that was specifically focused on the refugee community, meaning that you were brought to this country through the UNHCR. The State Department did a ton of vetting and you were placed with a resettlement agency. The initial structure of our programming was designed to basically pick up where these resettlement agencies leave off to ease the integration process and, provide a longer runway. And when we started seeing busloads of people arriving, it was around the time of our Q3 board meeting, and Elisa, who is our executive director, and I went to our board of directors and explained what we saw happening and gained permission of sorts, or we're provided a mandate to effectively expand our scope of services to be more of an emergency response support. So we have a network of coalition partners that we help with supply drives. We run supply drives ourselves. Our biggest partner in securing basic products for new arrivals has been Lurie's Children's Hospital. They've been an amazing partner to work with. And we have dispatched volunteers to welcome people at the bus terminals, at the landing zones, help with intake at police stations. We have provided hygiene products, clothing. We ran a really robust coat drive this year. We took in almost 2,000 coats and distributed just as many. So it has been a process of pivoting into a space that is, not in the original design of the organization, but nonetheless something that is so important and so necessary during this time.
Connor Mautner, the founder and strategic director for Chicago Refugee Coalition, joins me this morning on Score Values. Can you tell us a little bit about your ongoing migrant relief supply drive and how people can donate to it or what type of donations you take in?
Absolutely. So we have a comprehensive list of items that are always in demand, and that is available on our website, chicagorefugee.org. And we are also running an ongoing digital giving drive, just an Amazon wish list in partnership with Lurie's Children's Hospital. And that's pretty standardized in terms of things that are in constant need. So there are links on our website that will take people there. The list is constantly updated, and people can place an order online. It's shipped to us directly, and then we take it from there and make sure that it gets to the right end user in a timely fashion, of course. So there are tons of opportunities to get involved. There's also our growing volunteer base that we invite anyone who is interested in supporting new arrivals to join. That information is on our website as well. And we now actually have a volunteer base of almost 1,000 people. I believe it's well over 900 as of this morning. And it's just really incredible seeing the outpouring of support of just our fellow Chicagoans,
Absolutely.
We live in an amazing city.
Yes, we do. What type of volunteer opportunities do you offer?
Absolutely. So we always need support at our resource center. We operate a really cool resource center that's actually integrated directly into Sullivan High School up in Rogers Park. And for those who don't know, Sullivan is affectionately known as Refugee High, and it has the highest concentration of refugees out of any school in CPS. Nearly 40 languages are spoken on campus. Students hail here from all over the world. It's kind of a microcosm of the world in one spot. It's really, really cool. So we're always looking for support at our resource center. We're always welcoming people to run individual drives on our behalf. Many hands make light work. There are opportunities to help with college applications. You know, many of the refugees we work with are young people, and they need help navigating basic things like, how do I write a resume? How do I apply for college? How do I file my FAFSA? All of these small things that are, pretty common to us here in the United States are brand new to them. So we basically have to start from square one and build up from there. So there's opportunities to basically get involved with that line of work and not only do something good for the community and, really creating a space that is welcoming, but also getting to know some really, really great people as well along the way. So our door is always open.
Connor Mautner, the founder and strategic director for Chicago Refugee Coalition, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Alex. Have a good one. Thank you.
We now welcome Jamila Trimeal, the founder and CEO of Ladies of Virtue, to Score Values. Jamila, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have a representative from the Ladies of Virtue. It's the second time here on Score Values. And I remember back in November, we had your program director, Kenya Mercer, on the program. You guys were gathering goods, taking in donations for Love Day, and that's coming up. You guys are busy. Tell everybody about what you guys have coming up for your annual Love Day.
Yeah, so our Love Day is in honor of and celebration of Black History Month and Valentine's Day. So this is an opportunity where we're sharing with Black girls and we're telling Black girls, we see you, we hear you, and we love you. And as part of that, we are distributing 700 love boxes to 700 girls across the city on Love Day, which is February 10th. We're kicking it off for the rest of the month. On February 10th, we're coming to distribute boxes to girls in the community. And then throughout the month, we're distributing those boxes to girls in the schools.
Jamila, what inspired you to create Ladies of Virtue?
Yeah, so growing up on the South Side, my dad, he used to always say, you are an African girl. You can do anything you put your mind to. I was a young person, right? I was a kid, and I took my parents for granted. I thought all of my friends had parents who were pouring into them like mine were. And I saw at a very early age that that was just not the case. Some of my friends took a downward turn, and I realized at that point that positive role models can literally change the trajectory of your life. So I became a mentor as a sophomore in college. I went to the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, started mentoring as a sophomore. I have not looked back since. I've been mentoring for over 20 years now, but that's why I give back, and this is truly a life calling for me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, can you begin to explain the level of pride that how rewarding it is to work with girls from when they're 9 years old all the way up until they're a senior in high school, then see them go to college and still mentor them, just to see the growth and successes that comes with the mentorship that you guys offer.
Absolutely. And I had a team meeting yesterday and we were reflecting on this very same thing. I've talked about one of our mentees, Jalea, who started our program at around 10, 11 years old. Now she's a sophomore in college. But when she started Ladies of Virtue, she cried every single session. When we took her to career explorations and they called upon her to speak and ask a question, she cried and she would have to leave the room. Now Jalea is owning the room, right? She's having her internship. She's joined a business sorority and just doing all of these things. And I just look back at how she started and now how she is and how she's flourishing right now as a sophomore in college. We also have Deidre, who started off as one of our very first, or one of our sixth girls in our program as a senior in high school. And now she has a PhD and she credits that PhD for wanting to get a PhD due to her mentor, who at the time was in a doctoral program. And so, as I think about all of the girls that we've seen from the beginning, you know, as a very early age, to now you look back, or now you look and they're, you know, 8 years older, 10 years older, and those shy girls are now flourishing in school, and so, or even post-secondary, even after graduation as well. So it truly is a blessing to see that we have a small piece in encouraging our girls to become who they truly were meant to be.
Jamelia, one more time, what you guys have in store for Love Day and basically these care packages that are going to go out to 700 girls in the Chicagoland area.
Yes. So come on out, donate or volunteer. Help us pack these love boxes that include not only Black History facts, but there's a teddy bear that says you are beautiful. There's candy, there's hair care products. These are all these things to show girls that we're thinking about them during this Black History Month. Come out, volunteer, or donate. Truly appreciate any efforts or anything that you can provide.
And that volunteering is on Saturday at Carter G.
Yes.
Woodson School, correct?
Absolutely. So it's February 10th at 11 o'clock at Carter G. Woodson School. And then one other thing that I will highlight is the address, which is 4414 South Evans.
Perfect. Jamelia, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Best of luck on Love Day, and we appreciate everything you do for our community.
Okay, thank you so much for having me. Truly appreciate you.
That's going to do it for another edition of Score Values. If there's a topic you'd like to hear about on a future edition of our show, or if you'd like to share information about an upcoming charitable event, send us an email at scorevalues670@gmail.com. That's scorevalues670@gmail.com. I'm Alex Kuhn. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Score Values on 670 The Score.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.